We know now at this point that Isaiah is referring to Jesus, the coming Messiah. He is the chosen servant in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Let's look at verses 5 through 9 of Isaiah 42. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. It's very interesting as this passage continues that the Lord directs his attention now to the chosen servant. It's like there is this conversation in the heavenlies between the Father and the chosen servant, the Son. He speaks of him as the righteous initiator of a new covenant who will be a light to all nations in verse 6. And that connects to verse 7. The light of the nations will open the eyes of the blind and release prisoners who sit in darkness. This talks about the very toughest things that people go through. Those who are in darkness, those who are in prison. Christ's birth and his 33-year-old life shows the heart of the Father and demonstrates God's love for a world that is blind and sits in darkness. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John MacArthur said, the reality is that people, in fact, most professing Christians, do not understand the love of God. It is far more profound, it is far more complex, and frankly, it is incomprehensible and at times disturbing to contemplate. Thankfully, the Old Testament talks about some godly figures there, godly people who foreshadow the life of Christ, and they grapple with the love of God, especially during tough times. So let's take Joseph, for example. In chapters 37 to 50 of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, Joseph comes on the scene as a favored son of his father, Jacob. Jacob gave him a multicolored coat, and his brothers became very, very jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery. They betrayed his own brothers, betrayed him, and sold him into slavery. In spite of repeated setbacks and rejections, God raised Joseph into his destiny and position of leadership in Egypt, which was the most powerful nation in the world that day. In the midst of his trials and his testing, Joseph stayed true to God, clinging to the dreams and the path prepared for him. He didn't lose sight of his identity and the calling that God gave him as a favored son. At the end of Joseph's life, God truly vindicated Joseph by exalting him. Even after all their rejection and betrayal, Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God," what was the rest of it? "Meant it for good." Christ came to identify with man in all our brokenness, so man, through his weakness and brokenness, could identify with Christ. Throughout my earlier years, by way of testimony, I developed a sense of rejection in my life. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember there were neighborhood boys around me, and I don't know what was said, but they laughed and they ran away from me. And in that moment, I believe, I took on this identity of rejection, the spirit of rejection in my life. In the midst of my younger years, my father died. It was my early 40s. A week after he passed, my brother and I were having a conversation in the garage at my parents' place. And my brother looked over to the corner of the garage where there were two fishing poles, and they were all covered in spider webs. They had been there a long, long time. My brother was 7 years older than me. He was off to the Navy, and I would just take my baseball bat after I came home from playing baseball and put the baseball bat next to the rods. But I always wondered, why are those rods there? They've been there for a long, long time, and they've got cobwebs on them, and, you know, what in the world is the story behind that? My brother looked over, and he started weeping, and he said, I bought those rods for Dad to take me fishing, and he never did. There's a sense that we can get of rejection in the world today because of neglect. Now, so Dad didn't take us fishing, okay. But I pray now that many of you, and I know that many of you could tell stories that make this, my story, kind of tame in comparison. But throughout the years, I excused those deficits that I received. Well, it could have been worse, I said. The point is that I built walls around me and I wore masks pretending that I was fine. I was ministering in the church, I was pastoring a church, but I was doing it oftentimes out of an empty spirit. It didn't stop there, though. I passed along those deficits into my children's lives. You see, these false beliefs grew into a noise which reinforced my rejection. I eventually felt guilty and ashamed. The noise had a negative impact because I eventually began triggering those around me. This went on for decades until the summer and fall of 2024, when God brought me to the end of myself. That wasn't too long ago. The bottom line is that because of that spirit of rejection and the walls that I had built and the masks that I had worn, I did not know how to truly love my wife, my children, and even God. You see, God's love wasn't getting through because of the guards that I had placed around my heart. And you know, when you get to the stage of life, you don't want to deal with stuff like that. It's like, God, just like, I know that I'm a Christian and I know I've pastored churches and I know I've been involved in marketplace ministries, but can't you just leave me alone? Like, let me just deal with this myself. But he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me. He brought me to the end of myself. Over this last year, Stacy and I have been doing some inner work, and I'm learning to receive God's love in my life. I'm able to love Stacy better. I'm able to love my children and my grandchildren better. God's love is even changing my relationships in our local church. I don't know if you've seen a difference. A lot of it, you know, you might not see, but there's been a difference. There truly has, and it's been very good. The noise inside me has just calmed down, and it's been wonderful to see. As far as Jesus is concerned, Isaiah also speaks of him in these terms. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, God's love, God's true love, isn't measured when things are easy. It's measured when things are tough, when our hearts are wounded, when a betrayal is fresh, and when walking away feels easier. We're all confronted with our brokenness. We hurt, begin to wear masks, but Jesus came to love and heal those broken places. Jesus' love outlived his wounds. Jesus' love moved him beyond his betrayal. Jesus' love brought him on the other side of grief, even when he was rejected. Sometimes grief, grief is so funny, isn't it? Because it almost feels like a wave coming over. And it almost feels like a mountain that we cannot climb. A wise counselor once said that grief is love that cannot be expressed. Maybe you can identify because you've recently lost a loved one and you can't express your love for them anymore. You may be grieving because of broken relationships and you're isolated from the very people that you want to pour your love out to. Jesus was acquainted with grief because he had so much love, but many of those around him could not receive his love. Love is a risk. Jesus' love was offered to his own and wasn't received. He stood outside Jerusalem, and it was an interesting scene. He actually spoke to the city. He said to Jerusalem, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." My hope is that we will not reject his love, and we would know God's peace and love in deeper ways. He lovingly created us. Jesus came to show us the Father. Christ offers his love, even died for us. After he ascended, he sent his Holy Spirit to abide with us and spread his love into our hearts to relieve the noise inside. Brothers and sisters, we are favored children of God. Amen? So I have one final encouragement, and I just want to share this with you, something that might be a little bit practical, is to write out a card and record a prayer of God's love. Place it on your refrigerator, put it in your Bible. You could even write it on your mirror, whatever, so that it reminds you. And the prayer would go something like this: God, I know you love me. I want to experience your love in its fullness. Show me your love. It would be amazing to see God answer that prayer. Miss Havisham, from Charles Dickens' story, Great Expectations, missed the point. And she wasted her life because she shut off love. Without love, we remain crippled in our walk with God. Miss Havisham didn't find love, but we can today. If you have a church history, you might be new to the church, but if you have a church history, you may think you have something to bring to God. Even us that are here regulars at the door, we might think that we have something to bring to God. But Jesus came, he had another idea, didn't he? Jesus drives a hard bargain. He presents a transaction that seems too good to be true. Jesus says, "Let me love and serve you by taking all your bad stuff and dying for you on the cross. Then tell you what, let me love you by giving you all my good stuff." That's right. He exchanges all our brokenness for all his righteousness and makes us a child of God, favored sons and daughters in a family and a community of the King. If there's any question in your mind about God's love, whether you're a believer or maybe you're not quite sure, please come and talk with us. We'd love to. Pastor David would love to talk with you about this, share with you more. So don't leave without the assurance that you know the Lord and his love. Let's pray together. Lord, you know our hearts. Some of us are grieving. Many have felt rejection. We bring our family anxieties to you. We need you to heal the broken places of our hearts. Come in a fresh way. Lord, fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit so we can move beyond our wounds, betrayals, and rejections, so we can truly find your love in a deeper way this Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn. I think we all appreciate your honesty. I know Brittany and I do, so. Let's all stand and worship. Actually, our second song, Broken Vessels, might be a good meditation on your sermon there. We'll sing, "O Holy Night."